In Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, Isaiah chapter 1, and possibly 1 Samuel 15. 1 Samuel 15. Now, 1 Samuel is easy to find. You got 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles back in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 1, that's a very large, long book in the Bible, let's say. I guess it'd be a better way to say it. And we are going to be studying out of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16. Isaiah 1, 16, and possibly 1 Samuel 15, if God leads that way. As parents, we set down rules for our children. Now, these rules we set down for our children are for their benefit. We put fences in our yards not to prohibit their leisure, to stop their leisure, but to protect their lives. We had a neighbor up at the corner of our where we lived there in the South Valley, and he had this big old dog that wasn't supposed to be that big, but he fed it a lot of good stuff. Some stuff I thought I would like to have maybe, but because it was that good, you know, that he fed this dog. Well, he had a 5-foot chain link fence around the house, you know, with that blind stuff they put in it, you know, so you can't look in and stuff like that. Well, the dog had everything it needed. Doghouse, fresh meat, you know, steaks, all the way. And dog did great. He did so great, he got a little wide. Fluffy. And he always wanted to be on the other side of the fence. So he put a chain on him. The dog still wanted to be on the other side of the fence. Now, there's nothing on the other side of the fence except a dirt road. And a field over there that had some horses in it. There wasn't nothing over there. And it was out in the sun. There was no water. But he wanted on the other side of the fence. The dog did not understand that the chain was for its protection, and the fence was for its protection. The dog wanted on the other side so bad that it managed to climb over that fence by some junk he had up there and go over the fence. Well, it still has collar on. The collar wasn't long, the chain wasn't long enough for him to get back on the other side. So, come out one day and the dog's dead. Hung himself. But the dog wanted so bad to be on the other side of that fence. He thought Henry was just the cruelest master there ever was. Forgot about the steaks and the water and you know, all the stuff. The goat. He thought he, you know, hey. Well, not to compare us to dogs, but sometimes we're like that too. The fence was put there for protection, not to prohibit. Our Heavenly Father has set up some guidelines for our lives. If we follow them, there will be blessings in our lives. But that big two-letter word, if. Now, Isaiah 1:16. Wash you, make you clean. Put away evil of your doing from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Now, this washing that we're talking about here is not about taking a bath. Now, I don't know if young Donnie's there like our grandson is, but he doesn't like water. You know? He'd rather, even drinking, he'd rather have soda. I mean, if he could take a bath in soda, maybe he would. I don't know. But he doesn't like water. Now, this isn't that kind of washing that it's talking about here. This is talking about washing yourself from the sins of God by the shed blood of Jesus. That type of a spiritual cleansing, that's what it's talking about here, okay? Well, let's go on here. Verse 17. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widows. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If, there it is again, ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for these precious promises in the Word of God. God, let us learn to apply them to our lives, that we might receive your blessings. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just a side note here in verse 18, though they be red like crimson, you're talking about your sin. What color is sin? Not black. Crimson. Red. You talk to somebody that paints, they say red is one of the hardest colors to cover. Many times they paint it black before they paint something over it because the red always bleeds through. That's just a side note here. Now, if you read the first part of this chapter in Isaiah, chapter 1 of Isaiah, Isaiah is preaching to them, the nation has gone terrible. It has gone very bad. And he's just preached to them. Tell them how bad they are, how wrong they are, how they've been doing things wrong, all these things, which is true about the nation of Israel at this time. But God wants His people to be happy. God wants His people to have blessings. God wants His people to have joy. God has things He wants to give His people. And He tells them, wash, clean up your life, change what you're doing, keep your eyes on me. And then verse 17 is learn to do well. Excuse me. I had a cold Monday and Tuesday and I still got some draining back in there. Now, in verse 18, come now, let us reason together. That means come to God. Come to God. And let us reason together. Now, to reason together, that means you're having an intelligent, two-way conversation with someone. And you're having a reasonable conversation, a reasonable conclusion. You are two intelligent people willing to sit down and discuss something, look at the pros and cons, and come to a conclusion. That is within the guidelines of God. But the first thing is to come. God is here with open arms. God is waiting with open arms. Open ears, open heart. He's here. Come tomorrow. No. It says, come now. In the land of manana, manana never gets here. So God says, come now. Es the dia, the day. Come now. Let us, God, the one coming, let us reason together, not just one-sided. God is very reasonable, God is very practical, and God is very logical. And God is always right. God always has the best answer. God always has the best plan. God's way always works. Any other way that is different or contrary to God's way will not work. As you've asked me, have you heard me say before, how's it going so far? How's it going so far? Well, there's your answer. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. You got sins. Blood, death, red, covered with sin. They shall be as white as snow. We had a little bit of snow, but didn't last much. We might have some later on this week. At least that's what the weatherman says. But snow is nice. Yeah, in the mountains, yeah. It makes things white. It covers up all the weeds. Covers up all the old dirty brown whatever. Looks beautiful in the trees. The light reflects off of it. Makes the day brighter and more cheerful. And you can see really well. And it's got its good points. Moisture. Nourishes the ground. Comes from God, as He blesses, and it covers up all the yuck. Well, see, that's what God wants to do in our life. They shall be as white as snow, though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Been around when they shear sheep? The outside, the wool's all kind of yucky and dirty and got cuckoo burrs and stickers and all that stuff in it, you know. But when they start shearing that sheep and they start laying it back, oh, it's just so pretty and white and soft and fluffy. And it's got that oil in it and it's just smooth and everything. Then when they cut the sheep by accident, it's just like a sponge and it just immediately turns red. God wants to do that in your life. Verse 19. If you will be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Obedience is not enough. Being good because you have to is not enough. Obeying because somebody is watching you is not enough. Doing right so you don't get in trouble is not enough. Obedience is not enough. That dog was obedient when it stayed on that side of the fence. But the dog wasn't willing. It says willing and obedient. Just because you go by the rules, you have to be willing to go by the rules. You have to have a willing heart to go by the rules. Otherwise, you're doing it out of protest. Well, I've been doing this and I've been doing that and I've been tithing most of the time, which, you know, it's not tithing. Or I almost, well, you know, hey, that's not what it is. Cheerful giver with a heart. Well, I've been going to church like the preacher said and I've been doing this and ain't nothing happened. Well, you know, I read my Bible every day. I set my alarm and I get up and I read the Bible every day. I talk to God every day. Ain't nothing happening. What's going on? I'm doing all this. I'm doing all this. I'm doing all this. Nothing's happening. It's more than obedience. It has to be willing and obedient. You know what the Bible says? Willing. Willing. You have to want to do the right thing. Willing. I want to do the right thing because I love Jesus. I want to do the right thing because I got saved and I asked Jesus to come in my heart and He's part of my life now. That's why I want to do right. I don't want to do right so I'll get off of probation. I want to do right because Jesus loves me. I want to do right because people are seeing what I do. I want to do right because Jesus has changed my life on the inside. I want to do for Jesus. And then when we fail, and then when we sin, we will feel brokenhearted, have a contrite and broken spirit, as Psalms 51 says, and we will have remorse. Remember a little story I tell you about the boy and the cookie jar? I don't know if Donnie does things like that. I don't think he does. Mama says, no cookies before lunch. And you're just starving. I mean, it's been 30 minutes since you ate and you are just starving. And you know you've got to have something. So Mama's in the other room running a vacuum cleaner or something other, whatever. So I'm going to take the cookie jar off and you steal a cookie. Well, Mama comes in and sees the crumbs or whatever on the floor or whatever. Did you? No, not me. And you think, I know how she found out. I know she didn't hear the jar because she's running the vacuum cleaner. But she saw the crumbs. I saw, next time I'm going to clean the crumbs up. That's not willing. That's not repentance. That's not feeling sorry for doing wrong. That's saying, I'm going to be better next time so I don't get caught. That's not willing and obedience. That's just trying to be obedient, not be willing. Because Mama's cruel. She doesn't understand I'm starving. Hey, I was there. Our son was that way. Our grandson, our granddaughters are all that way. Well, you got to have that little snack in the middle of the night, you know. She told me today, no sweets or no brownies. I'm obedient, but I'm not willing. But listen, we must be willing and obedient because if you're willing, the obedience is not a problem. If you're only doing good to get and you're not willing, then God's not working in your life yet. Don't expect the blessings. You don't do so God will love you. You do because God loves you and because you love God. You don't have to make Him love you. He already loves you. Now, see, if, verse 19, ye be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if, there's that word again, ye refuse and rebel. See the two things there? Willing and obedient, refuse and rebel. Rebellion doesn't come first. Refusal comes first. Then comes a rebellion. I don't care what God says, I ain't going to do it. That leads to rebellion. I don't care. I think it ought to be this way. Well, I read this book and this is how it says you're supposed to discipline. What's God say? Well, I read the book and well, everybody else is doing it. You know, they made this law now or whatever. I don't care. What's God say? God, I'm having trouble with this. Well, what's God say you're supposed to do? Excuse me. Well, I don't want to know. That's one reason some people don't ask questions of the pastor. They already know the answer and they don't want to know. Because you see, refuse the will of God in your life will lead to rebellion. Ye shall be devoured with the sword and the mouth, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. I said so, God is saying. I said so. That's what God says. The Lord, mouth of the Lord spoke it. Why do we have so much trouble trusting God to do what He says He's going to do in His Word? We want to believe about heaven. We want to believe about salvation. But when it comes to personal things in our life, when we, we don't want to have God there. I got God for 1 hour on Sunday. That's good. The rest of the time, hey, God, I was there on church. I did this. Now, come on, God. That's not willing. That's not taking God at His word. We believe there's a heaven. How do you know there's a heaven? Been there? You saw it? Where'd you hear about heaven from? Word of God. Well, you believe that? Well, why don't you believe the rest of it? Well, I don't know. Yeah, you know, you just don't like it. God loves you so much, He puts fences up in your life to protect you. So your joy will be full, not so you're miserable. Because how's it going so far? Now, God is not man that He should lie, it says. Or He should repent or change His mind. I want us to go over and look at an example in the Bible. 1 Samuel 15. Now, it's good this afternoon if you will read all of chapter 15 of 1 Samuel. But right now, I'm just going to give you the short version. God, through the prophet Samuel, told King Saul to go and destroy the Amalekites. The Amalekites were mean to Israel when they left Egypt, when they was in the wilderness, and they wouldn't help my people. No, King Saul, I want you to go take care of them. I want you to go kill them. I want you to take care of them. Kill everything, leave everything, just destroy the whole place. So, King Saul said, okay. He goes off to do what God told him to do. Well, he doesn't do exactly what God told him to do. He took King Agag, and saves him. Then he saves the best of the oxen, the rams, and the sheep. He saves the best stuff. Kills all the bad stuff, saves all the good stuff. In verse 9 it says, but Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fattings of the lambs of all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuge that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, this is what God says, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. This is a prophet of God crying unto God all night for King Saul that disobeyed God, because he loved him and he was part of his flock. Well, Samuel goes out to meet Saul and says, did you do what God told you? Oh, yeah, I did just what God told me. Well, then what's this sheep I hear in the background? What's the bleeding of the sheep? Well, you know, the people did this. You know, the people saved this. And he's trying to pass the buck off and all these things. Verse 21 says, but the people took of the spoil of the sheep and the oxen, the chief things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice in the Lord thy God in Israel. He said, in Gilgal. Well, we brought this stuff back because we're going to give it to God. We're going to sacrifice it to God. King Saul's logic was to save all the good stuff. His cover-up was, well, we're going to give it to God. And it wasn't me, it was the people. Well, who's the king? And he was part of it. He didn't try and stop it or anything. Now look in verse 16. And Samuel said to Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. You know, look, listen. Samuel comes up to Saul and says, now Saul, you stay right here. I'm going to tell you what God told me tonight. And Samuel says, well, say on. I mean, Saul says, well, say on. Saul thinks everything's fine. He rationalized in his own mind what he did, and he didn't do what God told him to do. He says, okay, prophet of God, tell me what God told you. It's okay, come on, I'm right here. He tells him. Look down in verse 22. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? What does he want more? Obedience or gifts? Verse 22. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Obedience and listening to God is the best thing you can do. Verse 23. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected thee from being king. He just got fired. By God. He just got let go by God. Remember we said over in Isaiah that refusal leads to rebellion? He refused to obey the words of God, which led to rebellion. Now, he says it is as the sin of witchcraft. Doesn't say it's witchcraft, but it's just as bad as witchcraft. Witchcraft is worshiping Satan. Satan is real. People worship Satan. And Satan gives them power and money and position for their soul. Jesus told a story of what profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul. Your soul is the most precious thing in all of the universe. How precious is it? God came and died on the cross for it. That's how precious it is. That's how unique it is. That's how precious beyond prices. Tells the story of a man that found a goodly pearl. He went and sold everything he had for that pearl. He's comparing it to salvation. The most precious thing you can have in your whole life is your soul. Well, Satan, the seducer, convinces people, hey, I can do this, I can do that, all this stuff. Oh, he can give you one heck of a party. Oh, he'll give you a party. For a cost. Your soul. Your life, your family, your kids, your health. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on and on. The reason some of these countries are in the shape they are in is because of who they worship. God didn't bring the earthquake, but their choice of who they worship is why the country is what it is. There's some precious people over there that are saved. Oh, they're precious. Now, as the old saying goes, the ball's in your court. You got to make the choice. What am I going to do? Do you want God's blessings in your life? Do you want God's help in your life? Do you want God doing things in your life? Then do it God's way. I can't. That's right. You can't by yourself. You cannot. By yourself. You've got to have God helping you. You've got to help God training you. You've got to have God helping you and working with you and working in your life. You've got to have that help from God. You've got to have the Holy Spirit of God dwelling in your soul, which you get when you get saved. You've got to have God in your life. You've got to have Him part of your life. then we've got something to work with. How's it going so far? Is it bad enough to want to change? You think it's going to get better? You think you're going to work it out without God? Never has worked. Never will work. And you're not an exception to God's rules. Because this is what God said. Listen to the words of God, as He says over here. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Now, King Saul is just one of the examples. There's many examples in the Bible. But it's your call. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you just the way you are. You don't have to fix anything to get God to love you. He loves you just like you are. He takes you just like you are. And He brings you in and starts working with you. The t-shirt the kids used to wear. Diamond in the rough. He's working on you, polishing you up. God don't make no junk. But even a diamond isn't pretty until it's been cut and polished by the master's hand. And what makes a diamond? A hunk of coal with a lot of heat and pressure. Then you come out of the furnace and you're a diamond. Jesus loves you. Let Him work with you as you are a willing and obedient. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of prayer, time of invitation, time of decision making. Come now, let us reason together. Dear Jesus, we thank You for what You've given us. God, we just thank You for the wonderful blessings in the Word of God. God, help us. Oh, God, help me and help us as we strive to be close to You. As Mary begins to